Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. Tonight we're going to be having Karen Miles on to talk about Native Americans and the paranormal. Hello, Karen. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Chris. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. How have things been going in Texas for you?
Pretty good. I've actually gotten settled in, and I love the area. It's great.
That's really, really good. What kind of new investigations do you have right now?
Currently, I don't have any. I've been really, really busy with work and stuff, so I haven't had a chance to go out. But I do know of a great location not too far from where we live that I think would be a perfect investigation site. It's an old fort called Fort Concho. Dates back to the late 1700s, early 1800s, and I've spoken with them, and they do have quite a bit of activity in there, and my own daughter actually experienced a little bit of activity in the middle of the day while we were in one of the buildings.
Now, where was this fort again?
It's called Fort Concho. It's in San Angelo, Texas.
Okay. Yeah. Now, as far as like some of the places you've been in Texas so far, do any of them relate to the Native American side of things?
No, I've not actually. Like I said, I've not actually had time to go out and do any investigations. But this area, there was a war. I'm pretty sure there was a war. There was an old fort here, and I don't know the full history of it. But I would have to do some research, and the next time I come on, I can tell you more about the fort. But like I said, it's really old. There are several buildings, a huge location.
So, what things do you have planned right now for the whole? I believe the Native American radio show you started a while back. Are you still continuing that?
I am going to be bringing on some new shows here in the next few weeks. Like I said, I hadn't had a chance to really do anything. The last show I done was in November, I believe.
Yeah.
And but like I said, I ended up got a new job, and I've been getting on my feet and getting settled. So, but yeah, I plan, as far as going back into the radio, I do plan on doing that. And the name of that show is Spirit Travels Radio, and it's actually a it's a multi subject show. So I will bring people on anything that has to do with Native American issues, to the culture, to the paranormal, you know, just anything, really, as long as, you know, it's a decent subject, and I've done research on it, you know, and I know that it's a legit show, so, yeah.
Mm, yeah. Now, what kind of and things do you want to focus on with Native Americans and the paranormal?
What do I want to focus on? Okay, well, the first thing I want to say, there are, I know that there are some investigators that will go out to these older sites that are the burial sites and everything, and I want to stress deep respect when you go, because there are certain things that has to be done. You know, for one, you have to get permission from that tribe. You just do not want to go out and be tripping around on their property, you know, and on their burial mm-hmm. site. That's sacred land. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, and that's like even with regular cemeteries, you want to be very careful what you do. You really don't want to disrespect anybody, especially the families of those that are laid to rest there.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes. Now, as far as, okay, now I wanted to really talk to you about tonight was shamanism, because I don't think I've talked to you about that yet. And I've kind of wanted to get into that. Now, how does shamanism, you know, how does that play a role in your life?
Well, there are people out there that are shamans, but you have to remember the word shaman was not an American Indian name. Most are their medicine men or women. And and it's basically herbal medication, herbal medicines, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, what would be, did you have a name for that, or was that just something, or was shaman just something used later on?
Shaman was just something that was tagged later on. It wasn't something that was used early on in the use of herbs and medicines. It was just something that was given later on. After America was settled, basically.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Now, I just always, like, you know, was interested in how shamans played in, you know, Native American life. And, you know, could you kind of go over that? I know I've always been interested in seeing how, you know, they play out in, you know, in the paranormal. Do they have any connection with the paranormal and spirituality?
Well, I guess it would depend, but you have to look at it this way. American Indians have a very deep connection to the earth and everything,
yeah.
You know, the trees and animals and everything. So it is a very spiritual culture. Now, as far as shamanism, like I said, I don't particularly like using that word because shamanism isn't exactly what it's called. Like I said, it's a medicine man or a medicine woman, and they do, you know, the herbal medicines for the sick tribe, basically, is what that is. You know what I mean? They take care of their, like, doctors, almost. Mm. Pretty much their doctors.
Yeah. So pretty much we can call it medicine man and medicine woman.
Right.
Know? That would be correct. Okay.
Right.
That's interesting. That's really, really, really interesting, because I've always been interested in it. Now, how often do you, can medicine men and medicine women play a role in, you know, as a way of connecting to the, I don't want to say paranormal, but supernatural or the world beyond this world? Is there a way that they can be part of the paranormal investigating and using their abilities?
as far as a medicine man and a medicine woman, their abilities with it. Well,
yeah.
As I said, you know, the American Indian themselves are very connected, you know, it's very spiritual. So the spirits play a big role in the culture. So, you know, you have to be basically connected, okay? You have to kind of open yourself up and allow that part to be part of you. Some people are naturally that way, some are not, you know, and it just depends on the person. But as far as the American Indian culture, different tribes believe in different things. So, you know, it would depend on the tribe itself. It depends on what the teachings are. And as I said, you know, spirituality is a big thing among all tribes. Because tribal-wise, which, you know, we use the word God, but there's also the Creator. You know, and you have different names for God, but, you know, but it's all the same. You know, everybody believes similar. There's a lot of similarities with American Native American religion versus others. But I myself prefer Native American beliefs religious-wise versus other religions.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, how do you, you know, do you have a team at the current moment, Karen? Or are you still forming?
I'm getting ready to form a team. I haven't done it yet, but I'm hoping this summer, most likely, I'll start doing some investigations this summer. And Fort Poncho is probably the first place that I'm going to go to investigate, because I've already checked into what I would need to do in order to get in there. So, you know, like I said, this is somewhat of an old town. I can't remember exactly how far back it dates, but it's somewhat old. There is a lot of history here, a lot of old cemeteries. And so you'll be just driving down the road and you'll look across, you'll be out in the middle of nowhere and find a cemetery. So there's a lot of stuff here. I know of a couple other places that are downtown that are rather old, and they're active as well. So I've had people come to me and kind of tell me, you know, well, you might want to check into this place or that place. So I'm kind of making a list.
Yeah. You know, and I just think it's interesting. You know, learning about like the history of the different towns and stuff. How much does the history of San Angelo how much does that play in with in what you guys do with like research and stuff?
How does the town itself play into that?
Yeah,
well,
was there anything that happened in the town that maybe contributed to activity?
Well, I know there's a lot of different stories. There's a park not too far from here, and we were there one night, and it was late, and I went to go around to go sit down on this bench because my daughter was just out on the swings, and as I went around, I thought I saw somebody sitting on the bench, so I stopped and I looked. But the story behind that was that there was a lady that had been killed on the property. I think it was next to it, but that she would frequent the park at night. Her spirit would. So I found that interesting. As soon as that happened, you know, I came home because I'd seen it. I'd seen this shadow, and I was like, oh, this is just so cool. I've got to go check this out. So I got online, and I did a little bit of research, and sure enough, you know, but the people here are pretty good about that. If you tell them that you're part of the paranormal or you're done paranormal, a lot of them will start talking and telling you, well, you know, this was haunted or that was haunted. Had you checked this place out or that place? So I think it'll be a really good, you know, once I get back up and actually investigating, I think that I'll probably be busy for a little while. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Absolutely. What equipment do you like using?
Personally, for me, I like my camera and a recorder, and I use my senses.
You know, and you know what I find interesting is how your senses can, you know, is your most important, you know, tool. But you know, and I think what's interesting is how, you know, when you use your senses, you know, you kind of can kind of write down what you feel and things like that, and you can kind of compare to how other people felt in like a similar situation, and you know, and it's just kind of interesting for comparative purposes to compare different feelings at different times and locations, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I've had experiences out in the field where, you know, I've been able to sense something there. We had one in, for instance, and I think we had talked about it. It's been quite a while back, that we were on location when I was in Kentucky, and we were doing a private property investigation with a private home, and the mm-hmm. owner stated that the barn was the oldest, well, you know, it was the oldest structure on the property, so permission was asked to go out to the barn to check it out because it was old, so we were given permission and we went out there, and it just so happened, you know, we got lucky that night because we actually got some good EVPs from this barn, but while we were standing out there, I was able to feel this spirit, and I knew where he was at. I knew that he was watching us, and I kept watching this one area in particular, and I ended up feeling anger, and I knew I wasn't angry, and I couldn't figure out why I was feeling it because I knew I wasn't angry. Well, it peaked, and when it peaked and then diminished, the investigator that was standing beside me was scratched. And he immediately turned to me. He immediately turned to me just as soon as it happened, immediately turned to me and asked me, "Would you please look at my back? My back is burning."
Yeah.
And he had scratches on his back, so he was scratched. And it just so happened that this spirit in particular did not like male authority.
Mm.
He didn't like anything that had to do with a male. But the women, that was a different story. He liked women, and why I was able to feel that coming from him, I don't know, because I think I was the only one that wasn't, because he scared a couple of them, but a couple of our investigators, but he didn't scare me. And then he might have been trying to scare me with that feeling of anger, but it was also an investigation that it kind of scared me, just that experience, because it felt like he knew what I was thinking. And I didn't like that part of it. That was the one thing I didn't like about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, you know, it's like in any kind of, like, you know, in investigation that, you know, you go to or I go to, that, it's just interesting how, you know, how there's so many similarities between each case, you know, but, you know, it'd be interesting just to find out why spirits do the things they do, you know, because, I mean, there really isn't, like an answer
mm-hmm.
to explain why spirits do what they do, you know,
right.
And, you know, it'd be interesting to find out why spirits scratch or, you know, you really get down to the reason as to why they do those things. Because, I mean, I really don't know personally why spirits scratch. I mean, is it something supposed to be negative, or is it they trying to reach out to you for attention? You know, I don't know. And it'd be interesting to find out, you know, eventually, you know, what do these things mean, certain things, or...
Well, I agree it would. And you have to remember that how a person is in life, if they... You know, that's how they are in death. If you take
mm-hmm.
someone that's been
yeah.
mean and grouchy, you know, and all that's how they are in death. You know, that's how their spirit is, you know, and that's sometimes
mm-hmm.
that's how come, you know, I would think that's how come, you know, people are lashed out at, because, you know, they were angry in life. And then you have others that, you know, for me, you know, and the way I think about it sometimes is that, you know, maybe they don't want to be forgotten. You know, maybe it has a lot to do with that because, you know, they've been gone for a while and they're kind of reaching out and saying, hey, look, I'm here. You know, don't forget me. But, you know, you have, I highly disagree with provoking on investigations because, you know, you really don't know what you're dealing with when you go in and you start doing this. So, you know, you could provoke and you could have a spirit that's trying to reach out to you and you provoke and you upset them and then they're going to lash out at the people that own the home or the business or whatever. So, you know, you have to take in consideration that, you know, they were once human, so treat them as a person in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But something that I never really understood, you know, as far as paranormal wise is, you know, since they are people, you know, how do they view time? Like, is time still the time they died? Is that how they view time? Or are they aware that time is changing? And, you know, I've always wanted to find that out because, you know, I almost feel like, you know, personally, it doesn't make any sense to me, you know, how spirits can still be, you know, there. But are they aware that time is changing or do they think that time does not change or, you know, and just intrigues me. As to, you know, what a spirit thinks. Because, you know, I really, you know, we really don't know. You know,
I agree. We don't know. You know, and we all have, everybody has their different opinion about that. And it could be that, you know, maybe time for them has stood still. It's possible. Or it could be that they have no definition of time. Because they're not within the body, so they're spirits, so there's no definition of time, there's no definition of weightlessness or heaviness or any of that,
yeah.
You know, and maybe they're actually still in the time, you know, what they see could be the time that they were actually still here, so they relive that moment or, you know, something to that nature.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell, and I don't know if that'll be something that we'll ever actually know for sure.
No.
You know, unless
But you know what's also you know, and intriguing to me personally is how spirits are able to use energy to manipulate things or to do things that they want. Now, so, I mean, the thing I just, you know, find more interesting is that how spirits, you know, what are they using to manipulate or, you know, is it just some kind of energy that they have or is spirit just a form of energy, you know, and things like this, we really don't know. And it just interests me because, you know, and because we know that spirits are, you know, some kind of form, but we really don't know what, or, you know, and it just kind of brings me back to the question of what exactly, you know, how do we, you know, questioning, you know, what we find on an investigation or questioning what we, you know, are researching, you know, because, I mean, just to make sure we positively are right, what we find, you know, is to me important because there's just so many, like, possibilities that, you know, and that's why I love the paranormal is just because of, the limitless possibilities of what things could be, and it just excites me.
Right, I agree, and what you have to remember too is that the paranormal is always changing. We're all always learning something new from day to day, and a big thing about how spirits materialize and so forth is a lot about with water and limestone. The water is a conductor, and they're able to use that to be able to appear and stuff. Because I know that the one location that I was telling you about with the barn, it was sitting on top of a shell. There was limestone, and there was also water. So we had real good conductors between the two. And what I learned about the property was, when I did my research, was it was an old slave plantation. And it was a huge slave plantation. Matter of fact, it was the man that owned this plantation was the reason why this town was even there. So he started this plantation, and he had people there. So, and then just, families. But, so you have to look at that because, you look at some of them, the grief and the struggles and a lot of them, it was torture, and just on and on and on. So it leaves an imprint. And sometimes when they passed on, their souls were just left where they are because that was, that was all they knew, or sometimes they didn't even know that they were dead. So, I mean, there's just so much to learn about it, but there's so many possibilities too as to why.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that a lot of these things is questions that we probably won't know because we're not supposed to know. We know they're here. We don't know really why they're here. But there's a reason for it.
That goes back to, that a lot of the most haunted places are near some sort of water, like body of water. And it just, it does hold some ground because we do notice that some of the haunted places or, that are most notable are around some sort of body of water or near some sort of mineral deposit, in the mountains or near, the ocean or something like that. And it just feels that, eventually, what would happen is you kind of take forms of spiritual, studies, things that you would, learn about, auras and paranormal research and things like that. And it almost feels like people are like, you there, Karen?
I'm here.
Okay, I wasn't sure what that was. And it almost feels like people, what fascinates me is that over the centuries is how perspectives change on the world. And going back to what I said, that, it's just interesting how people are just becoming more, since we become more scientific, it almost feels like we're going into more of people kind of questioning, is this really, ultimate reality? Is this, it's scientific? Is this really, what we're left with? And it's almost, people are kind of questioning science itself, and almost that's kind of what I feel we're going to. And I talked with Kathy Nance on my last show, and I was just, thinking to myself, it just feels like people are questioning what's real anymore. And it's very complex to kind of think about that. you know, we have science, we have, you know, scientific theories that say that this is this, and that things are just kind of constructed, and it almost feels that we're kind of questioning the things that have already existed, because it feels like we're moving into more of a spiritual awakening and realizing that there is more to the world than just what we see.
Mm-hmm.
Very deep, but, well, you know, and that's what I feel. But.
Well, I agree, and you know, people are questioning, you know, I've done it, and the reason is because you have to take into account the paranormal is so out there that
mm-hmm.
you have to be very thorough when you do an investigation. You have to look for the natural causes of stuff, and you can't just say, okay, I heard a creak, it's paranormal because something walked across the floor. No, you
yeah.
go and check that, and if it's to walk across where you've heard it at, if you hear a creak because you walked across it, it houses settle. There's sounds, you know, they make noises. Sometimes it's minor stuff. I mean, it could be as you know, as much as we had one of the investigators that I know had done an investigation, and there was paint thinner sitting on it was a heating unit, and when it would come on, it would cause the fumes to come up through, and the clients thought that they had something in their home because the smell from the paint and the paint thinners and stuff that was on there was causing hallucinations. So they had to get rid of that. When they found it, they got rid of that and it cleared up. I mean, you have to look for what the problem is. Not everything is paranormal, and you can't go into an investigation thinking it's paranormal. You have to keep a skeptical mind about
mm-hmm.
it, because it's not, you know, as I said, the least little noise, the least little sound becomes paranormal, and then you become literally a joke in the field because you made a mistake because you thought it was paranormal and you didn't check it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, but the paranormal, though, like, everything is questionable, because, I mean, everything can be, you know, questioned about, you know, the authenticity of what paranormal is. Yeah, that definitely is true, because, you know, I mean, there could be, like a, I don't know, a chain outside or something hitting a wall or something that sounds like it's like a tap or something like that. And you're right. You're like, I don't know. I just feel that, you know, that I think that the paranormal, though, is definitely, it goes back to why I think so many people are interested in it, because, I mean, it gives them something else to explore, that they kind of get away from reality and say, you know, what if this, what if that, you know, it
right.
makes them kind of, you know, yeah, I mean, different, you know. So, now, I want to, oh, yeah.
Hmm?
You can go on, Karen, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I was going to say that, you know, I was going to use another example, an electrical box. They will give off, if there's a problem with those, they will give off high EMF readings.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes those are mistaken as paranormal when it's just, you know, it needs an electrician to come in and do the work to fix it. So, yeah, you definitely have to be very thorough when you're doing an investigation, because you don't want to step into it and go and make these mistakes, because if you make these mistakes, then you have a client that's upset and they're scared and they don't know what to do. And in all reality, there's actually not anything in the home. It's something that can be fixed by just calling, say, an electrician or removing something, you know, like paint or what have you. You know, just minor stuff or the house settling, but there are the instances where there is, you know, the actual haunting, and that's where, you know, that's where we come in, and we do our job. You know, we make sure that client's taken care of. You know, you stay with that client until it's settled. You know, or you have to pass it on to someone else that can actually get the help that they need. You know, you keep going until you help that client. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, what do you consider, you know, what do you consider are some ways that you help people that you find that are most effective?
What are ways that I find to help people the most effective?
Yeah, what ways do you help people that you find most effective?
Well, I've had people tell me before, okay, they'll be like, I know this sounds crazy. For me, when you hear someone say that, then you know that there's something going on in their home because they're questioning themselves. Listening to them, for one, and being sympathetic to what they're going through is very effective, because if you go in and you're like, okay, you say you got a ghost, okay, we'll check it out. We'll let you know what we find. That's not going to make them happy. They're not going to be happy with that at all, because they're going to think, okay, well, maybe there is something wrong with me. You know, this person doesn't, you know, believe what I'm trying to tell them. Did I even contact the right person? But you sit down and you talk to them and you listen to them. And that helps more than anything, because a lot of times, they want to talk to somebody. They want to tell them, look, I think I have something in my home. This is what's going on. You know, can you help me? And if you're sympathetic and you go in and you sit and you listen, my team, when I was part of our team before our team dissolved, we were very big about that. You know, we would listen to the client. If we had to go back in, we would go back more than once. You know, we've gone 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times into a home just to help that client, you know, until we were able to determine what it was that was there. And it didn't always take, you know, that many times to do, but, you know, you want to stay with the client and give them that reassurance that you're going to be there for them. You don't want to go in one time, do an investigation, and say, okay, this is what you got, and then don't go back. Mm-hmm. That's not helping them. That's not helping them at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and just listening to people, I think, just makes them feel a whole lot better, because it reaffirms that they're going to be okay, and that they're not crazy, or, you know, because everybody, you know, that has a paranormal experience, when you just, like, talk to them about it, it makes them feel a whole lot better.
It does make them feel a whole lot better. I have taken calls way up into the night from clients that have called me, you know, and they call and tell me, well, this happened and that's happened, you know, and also I've sat and talked with them on the phone and told them, you know, try and calm down, you know, don't acknowledge it, you know, because, and try not to be afraid. I understand it's hard, but try not to, because, you know, you have to understand, a lot of these spirits, some of them, you know, of course, are negative spirits, and they draw from fear. They like that fear. So the more fear they can generate, the more they do, because it makes them stronger, in a sense, because they're drawing off your energy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just gotta go one-to-one down to earth and be, you know, just be almost, I'm going to say almost like a friend, but you have to keep, because you know you're doing your job, but then you talk to them, in a sense, almost as a friend, you know, someone, lend your ear, lend your shoulder, you know, listen.
What made you want to do this? In the beginning.
What made me want to?
Yeah. I've never really asked you that before. I don't think I have. But
what made you want to do it? No, I don't think you have. Well, I've always had an interest in the paranormal. From young age, four or five years old, I've always had an interest in ghosts, spirits, and so forth. But my daughter came to me just prior to me joining the team and told me, she said, "Mom," she said, "there's spirits in my room. There's three of them." And she said, "They're scaring me." So I asked her, I said, "Do you recognize any of them?" And she said that one of them was an uncle that had, mine and hers, that had passed away. Probably, I guess it's been about 9 years now. And she was really, really scared about it. So she proceeded to search for a team. And I spoke with one gentleman. He contacted somebody else. And he put me in contact with them, which happened to be the founder of the team that I ended up joining. They came into my home. I watched how they done it, you know. And then, of course, that night they didn't get anything. So that made me a little bit more relaxed about it. But I was still concerned for my daughter because I thought she was too young to be experiencing something like that. But it does happen, you know, kids see things like that at times. But anyway, I ended up joining the team. And I just, you know, I have a passion for it. I have a love for it. You know, I enjoy helping people. I enjoy doing the research. I was a team researcher and the case manager. So I had a lot of interaction with the clients. Plus, you know, sitting down and doing the research on the property, you know, and that, I love the historical aspect of it. So, going into these old, going to the courthouse and going into the record books and tracing back the owners of the home or the property, just, you know, you kind of learn a little bit about the person in a way because, you know, because that was their legacy, their history, their time. So you learn their name. You learn what they did, you know, who their wife was, her husband, you know, how many kids, grandkids, that kind of thing. So it's a very fascinating field for me.
Yeah. Do you find it rewarding, though, paranormal investigating, Karen?
Yeah. I most certainly do, because in the end, when you're able to help that client and they can look at you and they can breathe that sigh of relief and say, "Thank you," you know, it's not as much as one of them saying thank you. It's more the that sigh of relief that you see it in their face, because they're relieved that, you know, they've been helped and they know that they may not have to deal with it again. Sometimes you do have to go back. You may get, you know, you may attempt to get rid of the problem or remove the spirit from the home or whatever. But sometimes you have to go back 2 or 3 times or more, you know, in order to do that. They don't always want to go easy. But, yeah, when you see that and that client stands there and smiles and it makes them happy because you've helped them, that's a very big accomplishment because you've done something and it just makes you feel good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what makes me, you know, like the paranormal. I think what the most important part is giving back to people and, you know, helping them feel better about themselves. One of the things I wanted to talk about tonight as well was do you use any kind of, like, sage or any kind of, like, herbs that you use when you cleanse a house?
I don't. I know that when my team was actually active, the founder and the co-founder, they would go in and do the cleansing of the home. But I'm not quite sure. I think a prayer was usually used. And I don't know what else, how they did it. Because if they knew it was a bad, you know, a bad entity or spirit in that house, he said, you know, he always said that he may be male chauvinist, but he was going to protect the girls that were in the team, so we normally did not go on a bad case. I'd get to do research on it. I'd want to go, but I couldn't go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, does your daughter do any research and stuff with you?
Not really. I mean, she's wanting to get involved. We've talked about it. She's almost 17. I want her to wait till at least 18, 19, maybe a little bit older before she gets involved because I want her to have a real, you know, a better understanding. Yeah, she did go with me when we went to go tour the officer's building or the officer's quarters at Fort Concho. And it was kind of an interesting, it was interesting. This was during the day. And, of course, activity can happen at any time. It does not matter, day, night, whatever, you know, it can happen. Well, we go, and they give me the key to go into the building. We walk across the courtyard, go into the building, open it up. Well, it set the alarm off, couldn't get the alarm off, had to go back. She stayed in the building. And while she was in the building, I was on the other side. I had to go get the gentleman to come and turn off the alarm. Well, she calls me, and she tells me, she says, "Mom, I'm scared. There's something. There's someone in the building." No, there's not. You know, we just walked through, you know, through this building. There's nobody there. Because I had, well, we'd walked through the lower part of it. I hadn't been upstairs quite as at that point. But she gets upset, and she says, "No, you don't understand. I heard footsteps." And she said, and then I heard someone make a noise behind me, and she said that was a banging noise. Well, what? That kind of excited. I started smiling at this point because I'm like, okay, she's maybe experienced something here. So as I'm walking back across, I stayed on the phone with her, and I told her, I said, you know, you're okay, calm down, it's all right, because she's panicking at this point because she's in the field alone. So we do it as we're walking across the courtyard, the alarm shuts off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't shut off in the office. They had to shut it off there, and it wasn't supposed to stop sounding until it was shut off. The alarm just shut it completely totally off. And I asked the man that was walking across with me, I said, do you think somebody went and turned it off? And he said, well, it's possible. You know, he said maybe one of the other caretakers there heard it and went and turned it off. We go into the building. She's standing there, and I asked her, you know, did somebody else come in? And she's like, no. So the alarm shuts off on its own. She's heard footsteps, and there was like a sighing noise in her ear or something to that effect, and then there was the banging that was in the kitchen. Well, I have a picture that I took just minutes after all that happened. And it appears to be a child underneath the table. And I was pretty happy with that. I mean, I'm not going to say that it's paranormal because it was taken via cell phone because that was all I had on me that day was my cell phone. But, you know, and if it is paranormal, then, you know, it's a good capture.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what we found out about that was one of the officers had I believe she was 11 or 12 years old, and the little girl passed away, and she had polio, I believe, is what she had, and died that building. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Wow, that's horrible.
Yeah, but I'm anxious to be able to investigate this location in particular, because like I said, it has a lot of history, and there's been quite a few sightings.
How often does the event, like dying from polio or something to that effect, affect your Have you ever noticed anything based upon the severity of the death? Does that translate into the strength of activity?
I don't know if that necessarily affects it. You know, and it's tragic the way some of them have passed. You know, of course, you've got some have passed away from polio. There's, you know, just different types of diseases and stuff. Of course, they didn't have the technology that we do today. So today we don't have that near as much as it was then. You know, back then I would think, you know, it was pretty much an everyday part of life, pretty much. But it's sad on some instances because, you know, you have children that have died from it, you know, and just stuff that really could have been avoided if they'd had some of the stuff that we do now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. What do you think? What do you think that the paranormal field, where do you think it's going, and where do you think, what do you think it will look like in 5 years? Where do you think it will end up? Do you think there'll be more TV shows and stuff, or?
I hope that it'll be more. I think that I'm hoping that the field will be more professional. That will have people that'll come into the field and be more adamant about what they do. We have a lot of good people in the field now, but we also have people that only do it for just to be weekend warriors because they think it's fun. And that is not, you know, it's not good. It's not because you go out and do an investigation and come back and then we have to clean up what somebody else done. You know, and it makes for a big mess sometimes for the client. So I'm hoping that we're going to see a lot more professionalism in the field.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I've been watching, you know, a lot of these new paranormal and TV shows, and I don't know. To me, it just feels that they're getting kind of stale and they're kind of running out of ideas.
Yeah.
No, I like Ghost Adventures. I like the originals, but I like they have. I like, you know which one I like. Have you watched Deep South Paranormal?
No, I've not seen that one.
You know what? Out of all the paranormal shows, I really like that one because entertaining, and it's just kind of the way it is. I mean, it's kind of basically what it's like to me anyways, but I really do like it. I think it's probably one of my favorites so far. But I don't know, we'll see. It should be interesting though.
I'll have to watch it eventually. Now for me, after being in the field for as long as I've been in it, I rarely watch the shows, and the reason being is, you know, the locations are good, a lot of them, and I don't have a problem with the locations, but you have to remember that, you know, what you see on TV is not what we actually see when we're out in the field. I mean, you're not getting activity like boom, 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 boom. It doesn't happen that way. I mean, you can go to a place 10 times, and one time out of 10 times you'll have activity. Or you may not have any at all.
Of course. Now, you know, that's interesting point because a lot of people, when they first join a paranormal team, not all, but some, you know, a lot of them, some that I've noticed, they expect to go out and, like, find this miraculous event happen to them, like, where they get touched or they get, you know, scratched or something like that. And I think what's sad is that a lot of people best based upon the paranormal investigations, what they see on TV, and then they end up getting bored with it, or they just quit because they just didn't what they expected it was going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. It's like, oh, that's not what I expected it to be like. I thought I was going to get scratched or something. Oh, it's kind of boring. I don't think I want to do this.
Well, that's the question for me. I mean, and I understand that there is an excitement to it, but who wants to get scratched? I don't.
I know, right?
You know,
I don't want to get scratched. Like, the last thing I want, why would I want to go and get scratched? That's not the point.
Exactly. Like, well, we was doing a training session, and it was a favorite cemetery. It was an old cemetery, and we would go do training sessions in that cemetery because, for one, it was great. The pictures were really, really good. You get good pictures. But it also taught, like, when we had new ones coming in, it taught them the differences between dust orbs. What's dust, what's bugs, what's moisture, you know, and we would go in and do these investigations. Well, the cemetery was an active cemetery, it's still an active cemetery, and we were in there one night, and walking through, we were doing the walkthrough, and I was with two other investigators, and we were walking through, and something nailed me in the back between the shoulders. And I literally was out of the investigation because it hurt me that bad. So, you know, that's the one thing that I think a lot of people don't understand is, you know, that they're interested in it and they think it's fun, but you got to take into account what can happen. You know, you can be scratched, you can be hit, thrown. You know, I've never been thrown, thankfully, and hopefully I never will be when I'm on an investigation. But, you know, depending on what type of spirit you're dealing with, you know, you've got to know how to go out and do this. And you want to get with a good team that's going to teach you the right way so that you'll know how to protect yourself, because you don't want to bring something home. Because if you bring something home, it's going to, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have a very much unwelcome guest in your home that you don't want there. And it's your fault because you went out and done it thinking that you could do it because you watched a TV show. Doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Well, Karen, I enjoyed talking to you tonight. It was great. I would love to have you on again sometime. Did you want to give any quick shout-outs?
I just want to say hi to my old team with Afterlife Investigations of Kentucky. I miss you guys tremendously. Still hoping one day maybe our team will get back together. I mean, we're all still fairly close-knit, but I miss the team.
Okay.
And
thank you.
Just to have my friends and stuff.
All right. Thank you, Karen, for coming on. I really, really enjoyed it. I hope to see you on again next time.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thanks for the time. And
you're very welcome.
Alright, that would be it for Paranormal Access Radio tonight. Join us next Friday at 10 Eastern Standard Time. Have a great day.